And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio once again on this cold, wintry December day, Nate Wallace, City Manager of the City of Palmer. Welcome, Nate.
Morning. Good to be here.
Well, let's talk about I have a couple of things, and I know that you always have things that you have that you want to share about the great city of Palmer. One of the things that happened on Tuesday was a city council meeting where the budget was approved.
Yes.
And I thought that was almost every time I watch it, when the vote is taken and the approval of the budget happens, there's this almost deflated, anticlimactic. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, we start back in October, so we've had probably 8 meetings.
Right.
And when the final one comes, it is somewhat anticlimactic, but it's passed.
Oh, yeah.
And we fully funded our services again for next year. We didn't have to dip into the reserve to continue business. We did dip into the reserve for some capital projects, but we've done that for the last, someone pointed out, since I've been here.
Well, so for those listeners who, for one reason or another, have been able to follow all the detail of what happens in the budget, comparison, now that you've been here for a while and you compare
no longer the new guy
to budget, what would you say stands out as maybe the significant differences, if any, on this budget as compared to last year's or the previous?
Compared to last year, probably not much. The operating budget, it funds our police department, our fire department, public works, community development. And then we set aside some money for maintenance. And then in the last 3 years, we've put some significant money into capital for projects. Now, we haven't spent all that money, but it's been set aside for when we can get to it or if we can match funds for somewhere else. Probably the biggest change this year, the biggest impact was health insurance, and that's across the state. Health insurance has gone up. Ours went up 13%. That was a significant emotional event for me, because we projected a 10% increase, so being off by 3% is never fun, so I had to find some cuts in the budget to cover that so that we have a balanced budget. But it was pretty easy to find that extra 3%. Just because we added some things. We added extra Christmas decorations. So what you see this year, we'll continue next year. We won't increase our Christmas decorations. And then the council had last year we had a grant program for Neighborhood Watch on top of what we do with the police department.
Right.
And nobody came forward last year to ask for that. So we increased our police department budget this year. We left that in there. But when it came time to, what are the first things to cut? Well, this was never... It wasn't used, so we cut that, and that pretty much covered our difference.
Just for a moment, go back to the insurance. I've been associated with insurance programs for entities in the past. Does the city have much choice in shopping around for health insurance?
Not probably as many as an individual would, because we are an organization that's not huge, and we're not so small that we have a lot of choices. So we're going to look at sending out a request for a proposal to see who's willing to insure an organization like ours. And there are limited ones in Alaska. Basically, there's probably 4 we can choose from. And those two of those, just from phone call solicitations, don't actually meet our needs. So we'll continue to see how we can bring that cost down.
An organization like AML, the Alaska Municipal League, doesn't have a kind of coordinator.
That is one of the two.
That's one of the two. Okay.
And we're in another one that's similar to that. It's a trust that was at one point in time, it had 10 or 15 cities, utilities, in it, and now it's down to 3. So.
Okay. Well, there's certainly continuing turbulence in the health insurance market, and it, I think, is safe to say there will be changes, whether it's this next year or following year, because people are encountering very steep hills to climb when it comes to paying health insurance.
Yep.
Okay, I interrupted a bit. Well, any other things about the budget in terms of focus? One of the things, of course, is the look toward the legislature. Any sense of monies for projects, et cetera, from the legislature?
It's hard to say. We set aside matching funds in case something like that comes up. With the new administration, there's discussions to, you know, again, curb the budget. When folks talk about tightening the belts, you know, handing out money to cities for things isn't usually the – it's kind of opposite of what's trying to happen. So there's also discussions of improving infrastructure throughout the state. You know, we're part of that. So it'll be interesting seeing how it turns out this first year, and then that'll kind of set the tone, I think, for the next 3 or 4 years. So it's not a sprint. It's a run, and we look forward to seeing what comes of 2020, 2019, 2020 in terms of capital spending for both the state and feds.
So one of the parts of the budget, I mean, you did the two parts. There's what we're going to spend and what we're going to take in.
Yes.
And I know there's this bulge. It reminds me of a python swallowing a large animal. I can use that imagery for a large entity like the new Fred Meyer store. Is anything like that coming on?
Not to that scale, but it's exciting to see that the new businesses that are popping up in town, and then those that are moving from Anchorage. Fairbanks in Anchorage. So Alaska Demo has had a presence in the valley, actually in Palmer at the state fairgrounds with the gravel pit that they're filling in with,
right,
with sanitary landfill. They've decided to move their headquarters out to Palmer next year. They've already got a building that they moved from the Glen Highway, one of those of the four that came into town. And they're going to establish their headquarters here in Palmer now. So those folks that make that commute out there or that live that direction will have an opposite commute to Palmer. And then just recently, I think as of today, I think the document signed, the old Husky manufacturing facility,
right,
also known as United Lumber or ATCO. It's been several different things, right, and there's a studio or gallery in there now. There's a sign that says gallery. Mm-hmm. That has been purchased by Airframes Alaska, and they are going to consolidate their operations out here in Palmer over the next couple of years. That'll bring 70 new jobs to Palmer, so that's exciting. That Palmer is becoming the place to move to, not only to establish your new business, but to move your established business from elsewhere into Palmer. So that's huge. That's not necessarily going to be a huge jump in sales tax. They do retail. They'll have a retail outlet, but they're more manufacturing and along that line. So it's a good commercial fit for Palmer, especially for that area. And that building has been sitting there underutilized for so many years. It's one of the things we look forward to seeing. So that'll increase the tax base, property taxes. That's always a good thing.
What about the psychological impact of the improvement to Glen Highway? I know that driving just as an ordinary person, there's almost a sense of relief when you go through the interchange and you're on the divided highway. And now that it looks like it will be completed nicely right into Palmer, as you were talking, I'm thinking, oh, I wonder, you know, people looking on and saying, well, that makes it easier to transport, go back and forth and all the rest of this. But that's just an idea that popped in my head.
That is one reason it's being improved. Is it's an interstate. The state has one or two interstate highways, and that's considered one. I mean, it connects Anchorage to Canada right through Palmer,
right,
and that's been one of the sore points. Is we have an interstate that divides our town pretty much in half landmass wise,
right,
but it does narrow down, it will narrow down a little bit as it goes through Palmer. Speeds will of course drop, but that will be a corridor that's new for Palmer and starting basically at the Kepler Bradley Lakes area. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's important for zoning. Part of that property that's being expanded upon, where the old Cartula farm was, that's zoned commercial and has been zoned commercial for years. So that's why it's important that as we go through our review of Title 17, which is our zoning codes, that we make sure we have the right and appropriate uses for that stretch of highway, whether that means we revise our current commercial general or we add another zone called highway frontage or highway commercial or whatever that may be. just so that we keep our community looking the way we want it to. Mm-hmm. So that's ongoing, but it does open up more opportunity for development, especially along that stretch there.
Well, I know most people are aware that the fairgrounds is within the city of Palmer, but across the road to the west, how far down does the city go?
The city boundary pretty much stops right at Noisy Goose.
Right there, including Noisy Goose?
Includes Noisy Goose, yes.
Oh, look at that.
So and across the street where the Sam's Choice Motel was, I believe that was I was inside the city as well. So that little corner
little area
there,
right there. Yeah,
but that's where it stops.
Makes that happen.
So the other piece is annexation is on the – we've had not discussions specifically about annexation, but there's been discussion, you know, it's time to look at annexation again just so that we can control – control's not necessarily a friendly word, but if we want our community to remain looking the way it does, then that's how you ensure that things happen that way, is through zoning. And it's not necessarily demanding that someone become into the city. You know, there's a development going on just outside the borders of the city on Palmer Wasilla Highway, and those property owners have expressed an interest in coming in because there are advantages to their business to be inside the city. And the biggest piece is, well, there's a couple of big pieces, but the biggest piece is police protection.
Right.
Our jurisdictional boundaries stop at the city borders. Now, every law enforcement officer that's in the police department has jurisdiction throughout the state because they're certified through the state. But
right.
Our city taxpayers pay for them to stop at a certain line. So,
what you're talking about is kind of interesting because when anyone uses the word annex, it is, I think the imagery that pops up is that the city is reaching out to grab and bring into its, you know, whatever. But here, it would make, as you're pointing out, perhaps good sense, utilities, police protection, fire protection, all the rest of it to have, especially if you're just across the line, to say, hey, we'd like to. And, of course, that's one method is mm-hmm. for a petitioner to say we'd like to be
yes.
a part of the city.
Yep.
Okay.
And if you look what's happened in Eagle River and Anchorage with the building inspections, that's another piece. If you're within the city, your building is going to be inspected. Your plans are going to be reviewed. And it's another benefit that folks don't necessarily see. Some don't want, but, you know, if you're going to have your house insured, this helps bring those costs down.
Oh, yes. Let's switch to another aspect of comparison, actually, between people who live in the city and outside the city. There's been recent discussions. Us Hollander had an article in the Anchorage Daily News about the failure of a number of wells. The city of Palmer actually uses a well, but this is a community, and the city takes care of it. And so if I live in the city, I can certainly say, city, take care of it.
Yes.
What's, after the earthquake, the situation with the well and the water here in the city?
Well, the first thing that the city did internally was, you know, make sure our employees are okay. And then the next piece was water. How did this affect our water system? So immediately that was one of the first things we checked. Number two behind that, number two, sewer.
I
saw your look when I said that.
Go ahead.
So number two was to check the sewer because, you know, if your water's flowing and it's got to go somewhere, and that could cause more problems if your sewage system doesn't work as opposed to water, because we could probably find clean water sources quicker than we could repair our sewage system if it was completely destroyed. So yes, check and make sure our wells were flowing, and two, that there wasn't a change in what was coming up out of the ground. Anchorage doesn't use wells. They use surface water, basically, from the Klutna Lake.
Right.
So, and there's benefits to both of those. But we didn't see anything with our water. They're free-flowing, and we didn't see a change in color. So I don't know if it's just the aquifer that we're on compared to other places. And we have three different wells. So that, again, that's our first concern, infrastructure-wise, is the water and sewer. And then after that, checking the roads to make sure they weren't damaged. But it's, if you're on city water, it's the city's responsibility to make sure the water flows, and the water flows cleanly, and it's sanitary. And even besides the earthquake, our water is tested frequently, several times a week. So it's not, you get your water report once a year. It'd be too expensive for us to publish anything close to that on a weekly basis. But you can rest assured the water is tested and reported to the Department of Environmental and Conservation folks on a regular basis. And then to the feds, we have a daily reporting requirement to the EPA as well. So it goes on behind the scenes. You don't see it, but you can be rest assured that your water is safe. And if there is an indication that there's something wrong, you'll be notified rather quickly.
So damage from the earthquake. Anything? I know throughout the borough there have been a number of reports made about certainly the road, Spine Road, being the poster child for earthquake damaged road. But within the city,
no, we haven't seen it. And the damage that did happen in Palmer, for even on an individual basis, was different and a lot less than we've seen throughout the valley and the Anchorage Bowl. Part of it could be the big piece of bedrock that sits on, surrounds Palmer, divert those waves or absorb those waves. The depth of the earthquake obviously played a big impact on throughout the state on how folks were affected. But we were out plowing Monday, and none of our plows hit anything unusual. Mm-hmm. We have seen a section of our entrance to the MTA event centers, the concrete there, it actually worked as designed. We have those splits between the squares and all.
Right.
We've had some shifting where one square is lower or the other squares are higher by about a quarter of an inch.
Okay.
So that'll be something we'll have to fix for accessibility requirements there this spring. But we did receive a grant from the state through the federal government for alternative transportation, what it's called, alternative transportation grant, of close to $300,000 last. They told us we were getting it a year ago. They actually gave it to us in November, so we've just completed the bid process for that. So we'll try to incorporate that piece of work into that grant, as we believe the grant bid process came in below what our grant was. So we'll have some additional funds to do additional ADA sidewalk improvements, and that'll be one that we'll have to take care of.
Okay.
But as far as infrastructure, that was the only real piece that we've seen in city buildings, and I haven't had any reports of any other buildings within the town having significant damage. Some ceiling tiles, the way some ceiling tiles were put in some of the buildings, if they weren't fixed, they came crashing down, and that's expensive. Mm-hmm. Somewhat expensive to replace, but
in some ways, Palmer also was an island of light, because power didn't go off for
no,
the city of Palmer.
That was incredible.
And while 50,000 people served by
yes,
MEA lost power in various ways, but and that's always a very, very positive thing.
Yeah.
At the station, we're able to broadcast during the early stages and talk about things. What would you say?
The last earthquake that was 7, I believe, 3 years ago, Palmer did lose power for a short time.
Right.
But that was, again, a different location and a different depth, and the ground shook differently. So it's hard to tell. You see, a 7, a 7, a 7, they're all depends on where they are and how deep they are or how shallow they are. You'll see the effects there. So we came out a lot better this time around than some folks did, but the city did an after-action review on, okay, what actions did we take?
Mm-hmm.
Had this happen, what would we have done? So the cities, again, we constantly look at how we can respond to different situations, and this was an eye-opener in the sense that, we didn't think of something. It was an eye-opener,
Right.
It didn't affect us this much. How could we have helped elsewhere? And that was one piece that came out that, we can do better.
Well, we here at the station, we've done the same. We've done the same thing. We've sat down and reviewed the kinds of things we did. We believe we're somewhat hardened. The power goes off. We can still broadcast. But how do we get the better information? How do we contact the city better so that we can make sure that we share accurate information with people? So, we lucked out and had a good learning experience in that sense.
Yep.
That happened as well. I'm thinking we've settled into winter, and with a start where people were not using snow removal equipment a lot, suddenly you're using it all the time.
I don't know the city settles into this weather. It seems like it's a crisis. Every time it snows, we treat it like a crisis because it is.
Got it.
And so, we can't wait for spring to get here. We're done. It was interesting how it started this year. We had one big snow, and then and then nothing. So, you know, it gives us time to get all the, most of the stuff up.
Tested.
And it melts. It did create some problems with ice where it melted and then it froze. But this last week and a half with the back-to-back, it's just trying to get the roads clear. We haven't had a chance to pick it up yet. So you'll see, when you look out your window, you'll see there's a berm starting to build by the sidewalk. And we'll get to it, but our first priority is to keep the roads clear so the traffic can flow. And then we will get back to
and making
picking it up
on a city basis. And yeah. I know I've been reminded that one of the operators wondered whether he knows where I live. He wondered whether we awakened when he went by at 4 a.m. with the big grater and made sound. I said, no, not a problem. Slip through that and go. And it doesn't matter. Go do it.
Yeah.
Even if I wake up, that's okay.
I'd like to think that folks appreciate it, that we're getting it up before they have to drive.
Oh, yes.
Because we were asked, why didn't you plow Saturday after the during the day with the snow to keep the roads clear? Well, taking a road grader down Alaska Street when there's cars parked on both sides and people going in and out,
for Colony
we wouldn't even be able to get enough speed up to be able to push the snow with a road grader because they have to travel a certain speed to get the snow going. So we were aware that snow was coming down. It was more than our 4 inches, but we just, for safety reason and for efficiency, we can't do it when there's crowds. But they were out Sunday night or Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, getting out there, getting hot. So
good.
So we will get the snow up eventually, and it's and they're out there again today. It's just we're not picking it up because we're trying to keep the roads clear.
Okay, I've asked a lot of questions in the moments we have left. Anything you'd like to share with people?
Well, we talked about the budget, and that was the biggest thing, really, at this point. And I did a review at the last council meeting, and also at the chamber this week. All the great things that have gone on in the past year, all the projects that have been done, the development that's gone on. Just looking at the year-end roll-up of building permits, we've had 35 commercial remodels within the city limits to the tune of about $3.7 million in value. So, again, Palmer is a good place to be, and it shows by just that, people remodeling. We've had four buildings that were outside the city relocated within the city. So again, commercial development, those all went to the industrial park. So those are creating new jobs and increasing our tax base. Again, not so much sales tax, which is what the city lives on. 72% of our revenue that pays for the city services come from sales tax. So again, these new businesses that are coming in contribute to that, especially the ones that are on the retail and the service side. So it's again, Palmer, Alaska at its best. This just goes to show that people believe in that. It's not just a slogan.
Okay. All right. Nate Wallace, City Manager of the City of Palmer. Thank you very much for coming in today and giving us an update. You know, we're close to December 21st, and the light comes back, and the snow will go away.
Yes.
Eventually. Okay. Take care.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.